The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 2 Podcast.
And we welcome you to the second hour of the show. Great to have you with us. More phone calls at 855-242-7285. We've already chatted with Andy Staples. We'll talk to the commissioner of the AAC in a few minutes about his thoughts on the future of college football. And more of your phone calls at 855-242-7285. Let's check in next with Brian, who is in Georgia. Hey, Brian, thank you. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, how you doing?
We're doing great.
I want to talk to you about ACC football for a minute. North Carolina is returning 18 starters and their quarterback. Do you think this year they have a chance to take down Clemson in the ACC championship?
Close, but I don't think so. Brian, I think Hal is a great quarterback, and I think they're well-positioned. But I'm just as good as they are and as big a fan as I am of that program right now with Mac, I just don't see them having what it takes to knock Clemson off. You better be pretty special. And I'm not sure, being good and special are two different things.
Oh, yeah, you may not remember. I called a couple years ago. I called you blind during the eclipse when I predicted Carolina to win the national championship.
I do remember. I do remember that very well.
Yeah, that was me, bud.
We made a big deal out of that. Hey, thank you for calling again, and you take care of yourself. Let's check in with who are we, Judge? Charlie up next. Hey, Charlie, good afternoon.
Hey, Paul, thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I have a couple of quick stories about Paul Bear Bryant, who I always adored, loved him. He's a great guy. And I was in Lexington, Kentucky at that time. My dad was the manager of the Thoroughbred Horse Farm there. And my dad had always been interested in Kentucky athletics, and so he did things. I used to load up a old Ford pickup truck and cut wood and take it to Coach Rupp's house and unload it. I did the same thing at Coach Bryant's house and unloaded it. And so it was my senior year in high school at Lexington. And then somehow my mother told me after about Christmas time, she said, would you like to go to New Year's Eve and have as your date Coach Bryant's daughter? I said, sure. Didn't know her, never even met her, anything else. So about a week later, a friend of mine who I knew had always had these real special girlfriends, very attractive, just a lot on the ball. He said, Charlie, he said, I'm going to fix you up a date with a girl from Louisville. You're going to love her, and we're going to go to the country club and have New Year's party. I said, sure, I'll be happy to, not even thinking about my date with Coach Bryant's daughter. All right. Now, after graduating from high school, I went to the University of Kentucky, studied to be a dentist, like pre-dental. After that, I went to Baylor Dental College down in Dallas, Texas. And in my sophomore year down there, I had a roommate who was very, very actively interested in the A&M program. And I said, well, let's go watch the ball game down in A&M. And I might even be able to introduce you to Coach Bryant. So we went to the football game. I don't know who they were playing. But anyway, that was the day that you could walk along the sidelines and do odd things you could never do now. So I sneaked up just before the game was starting, and I went over and said hello. Coach Bryant, I said, my name's Charlie Kenny. He said, yeah, I remember you. I said, well, I would like to just introduce my friend. He said, tell you what, Charlie, I'm kind of busy now. Why don't you come on up to my house after the game's over? Be happy to have you come up there. And I was feeling like $10 million. I thought,
oh my goodness,
this is impossible. So anyway, so after the game was over, I had asked one of the assistant coaches how to find his house. And he had a big, lovely, beautiful house. And so I went up with my friend. Bill was my friend. And went up to the coach's house, knocked on the door, and lo and behold, he answers the door. And I said, wow, Coach Bryant, I'm so appreciative of you letting me come and just speak with you. And I said, this is my friend Bill so-and-so. He said, well, I'm glad to meet you, Bill. He said, now, Charlie, I got to ask you a question. What is it, Coach? He said, did you ever remember having a date with my daughter for going to the country club on New Year's Eve? And instantly, replay. I said, oh, my gosh, I did it. I messed everything up in the world. I said, yes, sir. And to be honest with you, I have no excuse. I just blew that. He said, well, he said, that's fine. I think that's enough talking, Charlie.
Oh, my goodness.
My friend and I got back in the car and went back to Dallas. And I thought, you are the complete stupid idiot. Here's the coach of the world. And you blew that whole thing. Well, anyway, long story short, but my dad had been an athletics booster and did stuff for Coach Grupp and Coach Bryant. And it was a wonderful time when Bryant was at Kentucky. I don't think we've ever had a team like that, in my opinion. And so that's all. I just had this odd.
Charlie, I know the lady that you met, I know her son very well. And I just find that it's just amazing to think about moments in time and how things could have been different.
Well, may I ask you one question, sir? Is that the girl from Louisville that I actually had a date with New Year's Eve?
I don't know, because I'm assuming it is. He only had one daughter, so I don't think we're. He had a daughter and a son. His son was Paul Jr. and his daughter, I think her name was May.
That's right. May Martin, I believe.
Yeah, May Martin. Yeah, she married, not to make you feel bad, but she ended up marrying a prominent judge in Montgomery, Alabama. Her grandson now is the backup quarterback at Alabama. I mean, she's...
Wow. Unbelievable. Well, you know, Paul, we all do stupid things. I don't know how I could have done anything more stupid. But once in a while you catch yourself and you say, I'm not ever going to make that stupid mistake again. I hope, I pray.
Well, what's so interesting that, you were looking at it the wrong way, if I could give you some advice from 70 years later. You were looking at Coach Bryant as the great coach. He was looking at you as somebody that could have married his daughter. I mean, and he is not going to forget that.
I became an orthodontist, actually, and I was reasonably successful. But this fellow brought this girl from Louisville, and she was pretty special, and really. And
I have great respect for you, Charlie.
Better choice than me, that's for sure.
I don't mean to be one of those who say everything always works out for the best, but. He may have been a tough father-in-law, just in all candor.
Well, listen, just on the two-minute conversation at his front door, he's been a very tough father-in-law.
Yeah,
but we all love the guy.
I have
one question for you.
Sure.
If I could ask one.
Of course.
I heard somewhere that he played in the Rose Bowl with a broken leg. I have no way to.
I believe that is true. Yeah. One thing about you saw it that day, Charles. I mean, Paul Bryant was one tough guy, he didn't become one of the greatest leaders in college football history by accident.
No, sir.
I mean, after all, he did wrestle a bear. So I mean, just think about that.
I heard that.
Well, what a wonderful story. Anyway. Thanks for sharing it. Absolutely delightful. Hey, you be well.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thanks,
Paul.
Doc. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
That is a funny story, by the way. Let's check out Walter next up in Virginia. Hey, Walter. Thanks. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Paul, and thanks for having me. I want to talk a couple things about the draft, about Florida, and then also about Florida's offseason. First of all, who do you think would – be the best fit for Kadarius Toney?
That's a good question. I'm trying to think. It's hard to think of all the clubs. Who you got?
Well, to be honest with you, I think Washington would be the best fit because he's kind of like that Wes Welker, except he's more elusive and he's a little bit faster. I feel like he can give him more production, not just as a receiver, but special teamers, and then also getting the ball in his hands quicker with reverses and things like that. I think that might help him.
Hey, I appreciate the suggestion. It's a really good one. You be well. Take care of yourself. We have to go to a break. We went a little bit long there. Mike Oresko, the commissioner of the American, is coming up next, and then we'll get right back to your phone calls.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/paul. That's hims.com/paul for your personalized ED treatment options. hims.com/paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan. Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
And we welcome you back. It's great to have all of you here. And it's also great to welcome Mike Oresko back to our program. We've talked to him quite often throughout the football season about what would happen. And now that basketball has ended, Commissioner, great to have you on. Congratulations. It had to be, I know you had a great time during football, and basketball lived up to expectations with a Final Four as well.
Well, thank you, Paul. Great to be with you. And yeah, we're very pleased about Houston, and all credit to them making the Final Four. Been a good year. It's been a tragedy for the country and the world, and we tried to play sports to give our student athletes an opportunity to do it, Paul. And we were able to do it, and I think we were able to do it safely. So again, glad that we were able to do that. But thanks again for the kind words about the conference.
It is so remarkable, Commissioner, to think here we are in early April. The Masters is going on. The championship is going, has just finished in Indianapolis, and the women in San Antonio. And the questions that we're asking you are much different than they were a year ago. I would imagine for people like you and your colleagues, not that there's ever a chance to take a deep breath, but I'm sure there has to be a sense of gratitude that most of the bad news is behind you.
Well, we hope it is, Paul. And we've had weekly calls, the FBS commissioners, which is a welcome development, and that's been going on for months. We're keeping our medical group in place because, we still obviously are in the pandemic. We're not out of it yet. We still have issues. And the big focus now, Paul, will be vaccinations once our student athletes are eligible, and some of them are now. And we're obviously going to encourage vaccinations, and we're working on, we're working with, local authorities to see whether we'll have to test after vaccinations. So again, that's going to be obviously a major initiative. So this is, we're not quite through it. You're right, though. The news is much better. Obviously, we're seeing people potentially back in stadiums. The vaccine protocols are obviously really important, and let's hope for the best. I'd hate to be in the fall again with the same issues we were facing. It's still, we're not quite out of the woods yet, but we're getting there.
Commissioner, let me ask you about the vaccination, because we had a coach on the other day who made a really interesting point. He said, listen, all we can do is educate. We can't demand. We can't tell players they have to do it. And we understand and respect some of the obstacles in their mindset, but we also have to remind them that if they don't get it, then they're probably going to have to be tested. regularly. And I know you're trying to find the best possible way to get the athletes to follow many of the adults, but how do you approach it? It's a prickly issue.
It is, and it's an issue for us of incentivizing student athletes to get the vaccines. Testing and contact tracing will likely not be necessary if you're vaccinated and you've got the full immunity. Education is obviously very important, and our schools have really spent a lot of time educating their student athletes. You know, there have been some concerns out there about the vaccines, and some young people feel pretty much bulletproof. They don't feel they necessarily need it, and they've heard, well, it may have this side effect or that side effect, or it may have some other issue. And so consequently, you do have to address that. And we're also, we're working with our schools. If necessary, we could ultimately do some conference, PSAs, try to find some people that, student athletes obviously really look up to and respect to talk about this. But right now, we've been getting, Paul, a good response from our individual schools as they have seminars with their student athletes regarding vaccination.
Talking to Commissioner Mike Oresko. Let's turn the page a little bit. I want to get one thought, though. It was so interesting to see Baylor win the other night. You had Gonzaga and Houston, and UCLA. We all know who the Final Four teams were. But it just seemed like a breath of fresh air for the sport to have, at least three of those schools in there. I know UCLA is used to park at the Final Four, but As you look at basketball, and I know basketball does not translate easily to football, but I'm getting to your league and how close you came, and the fight that you waged, and I'm just wondering if there's any message that comes out of Monday night and the tournament that you can take as we turn the page toward next season.
I think there is, Paul, but you really hit it on the head. They're different sports. Jim Calhoun, I wasn't there, but somebody had told me that he once said that, with some good guards and a few other players, he could take a team to the Final Four, but football's a corporation. And it is, with the number of players you need, with the risk of injury, with all the other things. And also, the blue bloods in football have dominated the sport, in some ways even more than basketball. Now, without getting too much into the weeds, obviously you have a tournament that involves a lot of schools of different levels, and you have access. That's the key. You have access. There is a path to the championship through your conference, and you get an automatic qualifier. Now, could that to some degree be remedied in an expanded playoff if you had automatic bids, for the conferences involved at the highest level? And that's, as you know, and again, I'm proselytizing, but we're fighting hard for an automatic bid. Should that be the future template of the playoff? And because we feel we've accomplished things at the A5 level. The issue for us, Paul, has been, as Houston in 2015 and even 16 would have probably been viewed when they had one loss at one point and having that big win over Oklahoma and then absolutely destroying Louisville. Might have been in the conversation in a way that they weren't because they were in our league. UCF in 2017-18, Cincinnati in 2020. Clearly, these teams could have made some noise in the playoff. We'll never know how they would have done. You saw what Cincinnati did in the Peach Bowl, really should have won that game. UCF back in 2013 in the BCS obviously wasn't a factor. But the point is, we've had teams that just didn't have access, and we produced teams that potentially could win championships. We produced a team in basketball that went to the Final Four. Without the access, would they have gotten there? Would there have been a team that was viewed more as a blue blood, as you refer to those kinds of teams in basketball, that might have gotten the nod over them even though they were an outstanding team? Those are the kinds of questions that we're going to ask. Now, again, I think it could be remedied down the road if, in fact, the playoff, is expanded, and I suspect it may well be. So, you don't have any Gonzagas in football, Paul, and there are a couple of aspects to that. Gonzaga can play in a conference that obviously is not, one of the, P5 conferences or not one of the large conferences, and they generally have an easy time in that conference. That would hurt you in football with strength of schedule. but they are also able to do something that's hard to do in football, and that is to create a really great non-conference schedule. They go all around the country playing. Teams are willing to play them. In our case, we have put together really good non-conference schedules, but sometimes it's harder, you know, with us, as you know, and you have these two-for-ones. You have to play on the road a lot more. So it's a little different in football, and I'm not comparing. Our conference is really good. I don't want to suggest that we're a small conference that really doesn't provide great competition. We do, and we think we're at the A5 level. But as you know, we do suffer from the fact that we're not technically in the P5, and this whole G5 branding has an impact on us. So that's another issue with football. But I do think that we're moving in a direction where maybe this can all be taken care of.
Chatting with Mike Oresko, Commissioner, before you go, I do want to address the conversation that we've had many, many times. It's spring, meetings begin to happen, whether they're in person or virtual. But a lot of conversations, important ones, occur this time of the year. Where are we with the college football playoff?
You know, Paul, I'm not sure where we are. I was more confident recently that it would that eventually there would be expansion of it, you know, to at least 8 teams. I know there was even talk of 12 teams with 4 teams having a bye. You know, that's difficult because you would have, if your championship game involved teams from that 8, you'd have 4 games to play. That's awfully tough. But I do think that a lot of attention is going to be focused on the health and safety aspects. You know, if you expand to 8, you are playing 3 additional games. And obviously with a championship game and your regular season, that's 16 games. That's the former NFL schedule. Now they're going to 17. But to answer your question even more directly, there will be discussions coming up in a few weeks at the CFP meetings, and those are virtual this year. I think the discussions will probably be more detailed in June. You know, I can't provide too much more information than that. Do I think that some proposals will be made regarding an expanded playoff? Yes. And do I think that down the road it could well happen? Yes. I do think that there's going to be a hard look at the idea that you've got to play 3 extra games if you go to 8 teams. I also think, you know, how it's structured, whether you do automatics or whether you just leave it wide open again and let a committee pick all the teams. And believe it or not, you've heard so much talk, Paul, about automatic bids. I'm not sure that's necessarily, you know, going to materialize either. I mean, it's possible that, you know, I don't know where the SEC would stand on that, because, you know, if you had automatic bids, especially, we're going to fight hard for one. G5 obviously would fight for one. We hope it's us and maybe a G4 bid. But that doesn't leave much in the way of that large bids, as you know, and you've also got Notre Dame in the mix. So that's, you know, who knows? Maybe some conferences would feel that if you want the best teams in the playoff, you really ought to have it open, and therefore, you know, you wouldn't necessarily be tied to conference champions who might be ranked 25th in the country or 15th or 18th. And, you know, that can happen too. But like the NCAA tournament, though, if you did have a path through your conference, at least there's access for, you know, schools, you know, for instance, in our conference that wouldn't necessarily have access. And it also broadens the playoff to include, you know, the entire country. And you made a good point. You know, this Final Four had some new teams, and you know, there was huge anticipation for that Baylor-Gonzaga game, in part because people, you know, Gonzaga's not new, obviously, but, you know, Baylor came on the scene. And there's something to be said for that. You know, has the playoff gotten a bit stale with the same teams over and over? Well, I think to the extent that there are some other teams that I think could have challenged and could have really made some noise. And, you know, I was lobbying for Cincinnati getting a shot because I thought their defense put them in a position that maybe they could have done something different than some of these other teams did in the playoff. And I think in the Peach Bowl, they justified that even without 5 of their best players, including 2 All-American defensive backs. So there's something to be said, you know, obviously for some new faces and some new blood in this, and we'll see where it goes. Do I think that there's going to be a very serious discussion about it? And then the last thing, Paul, is when would it start, even if it does go to 8? And would it begin in the next few years? Well, it's very complicated because you've got an ESPN contract. You'd have to work with your television partner to work things out, and we don't know where they are yet. Also, you've got, you know, the Rose Bowl and the Sugar Bowl, and you know they've been right in the middle of this. How do you utilize the bowls if you were to expand a playoff? It gets awfully complicated, and whether it would start if you established it now or within the next year, and you'd need board approval, you'd need all the presidents of the various conferences to agree. Does it start next year, the year after, or do you wait till this term runs out and then just start a new playoff, you know, at the end of the 12 years, which could be, I guess, on a 2023 or 4, whatever. So that's another big question that would be facing everyone.
Commissioner, always great to have you on. Thank you so much for sharing your knowledge and your perspective, and we wish you well, and hope to see you again very, very soon.
Thank you, Paul. Always great being on, and stay well, and all your listeners as well. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Mike Oresko, some very interesting comments there about the future of the college football playoff. We will take a break. More to come right after this.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
And we welcome you back. And on the eve of the Masters, without Tiger Woods, the Sheriff's Department in Los Angeles today finally confirmed their explanation on why Tiger Woods had such a horrific crash. It came out that he was driving at more than 80 miles an hour in a 45 mile an hour zone. And that's what they think caused the crash that has sidelined him for a significant period of time. Let's get back to the calls, and Freddie is up next in Tennessee. Hello, Freddie.
Hey, Paul.
Hi there.
I wanted to talk about Darryl was wanting Alabama, saying Alabama was going to win the national title.
Right.
Well, I'm a huge Alabama fan, but I'm also a realist. If you give you two reasons they possibly could not win the national title, would be the quarterback position and the tailback position. I'd be interested to hear your comments.
Yeah, I mean, you have to be a fool not to think Alabama is in contention when you factor in everything about the program and the recruiting that has continued. But you would also have to be a blithering idiot to say what that gentleman said about Alabama not losing very many people. I mean, they're losing Mag Jones, who could go as high as number 3 in the draft. They're losing Waddle and Devontae Smith, who will be top 5 or 6 or 7 picks. Surtain is going. And we haven't even talked about Najee Harris and the center and countless other people on the team. So, I mean, this is a massive loss for Alabama. I mean, at Alabama, you can replace very easily, but can you do it in time to encounter what you have to overcome? And I've heard Bryce Young is fantastic. Well, we knew that a year ago, and he looked great in the scrimmage the other day. But is he going to look great against Georgia in the SEC championship game? Is he going to look great at Texas A&M and against LSU and against Auburn? These are questions that cannot be answered right now.
And we haven't even considered the defense, the linebackers.
Right.
You know, so it's, you know, I'm a huge Bama fan, and I would love a repeat. But I'm also a realist.
Yeah, and I know, Freddie, I didn't mean to be short with the guy, but when somebody, but you know, this is not just this is not a conversation between two people. There are many, many people watching and listening, and I felt in fairness to them, I was just curious. Maybe he knew something that we didn't about Alabama. Turned out he didn't.
No, sir. Good talking to you, Paul.
Thank you very much. Yeah, he was a fan. And by the way, we're all fans. And you know, every once in a while, I just want to hear somebody say something other than they're just gonna. They usually do, by the way. Let's talk to William, who is in Tuscaloosa. Hello, William.
Hey.
Hey there.
How are you?
I'm well. Thank you, William.
Who am I talking to?
This is Paul Feinbaum. Do you need someone else?
Hey, no. I have tried for a long time to get through to you. I've got a story about Coach Bryant.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm glad you made it in. Well, wonderful.
He was at Texas A&M, and I was playing football at Holt High School. And he came, we played Scottsboro, and they had a running back that weighed about 230 pounds. And he drove from College Station with one of his assistants. I don't remember which one that was. But I had a friend that was in the press box, and he drove that, whatever it is, 200 or something miles to scout this running back. And he said a 140-pound linebacker kept him on his rear end all night. So I heard him tell that a number of times, and I've had a chance to talk to him about it, but I never could. I never could get up the courage. So I heard him tell that story a lot of times.
Oh, that's a great story.
I'm 88 years old now. That's been a long time.
William, 88 sounds, we talked to another 88-year-old earlier. That's not a bad age right now. Are you in good health?
Fair, I think, yes.
Well, hey, I mean, not that I'm an expert at health, but if you're 88 and feeling pretty good, I'd say you're beating the house right now.
Yeah, last time I saw you was at the hamburger place on Greensboro Avenue. You came out the door as we was coming in.
Now that was
stood outside and talked on your telephone.
Now that was, is that the place across the street from the stadium?
No, that's on Greensboro Avenue.
Oh, okay, Greensboro.
Uptown.
I'm trying to think when that, how long ago was that?
About 3 years, four.
Well, that was terrible of me to be on the phone. It couldn't have been that important. I wish I'd been able to say hello to you.
Yeah. Well, I've tried for a long time to get through and tell you that story.
Well, I am glad you did. And you take care of yourself and stay in good health. And let's talk again and maybe see each other one of these days.
I listen to you about every day.
Well,
I
thank
watch
you.
Yes.
That means a great
All
deal.
Right.
Thank you. I'm just trying to figure
thank
out.
You.
Thank you. I'm just trying to figure out what I was doing at a hamburger place. I must have just walked in, thought it was they served something other than hamburgers, and immediately went back out on my phone. We will take a break. More to come. More of your phone calls at 855-242-7285.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
You're not worth a flip.
We welcome you back, and let's get to some calls here. And where are we? Penny is up next in Alabama. Hey, Penny, thanks. Good afternoon.
Hey, Paul. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I want to talk about Aaron Beasley, University of Tennessee. I guess you heard about the abuse
he's
inflicted on that kitten.
He's the player that is accused of abusing a kitten, and I...
Oh, he's not accused of it. There was a witness to it.
Well, I would agree with you, and I mean you're right. I'm going to be careful.
He inflicted so much injury that kitty will never recover fully. Tried to drown it in a commode, terrorized it.
Right.
Big as he is, doing that to a kitten, that SOB needs to be kicked off that team permanently. Pull his scholarship and expel him, and he should be arrested.
Well, Penny, I won't even, I'm not trying to be I'm with you 100%. I cannot even come up with an explanation.
What do you think?
Well,
what do you think?
I know one thing from reading, and I'm a talk show host. I'm not a sociologist or a profiler, but,
He's a psychotic.
People that abuse animals have serious problems.
Yes, he does. And he's a thug, and he shouldn't be on the team. He'll be an embarrassment. That's a veterinary college. How could they let a player like that stay on the team? I mean, you know, the thing that I don't understand is, why hasn't he been arrested? There are laws against it. Why do star players, celebrities, and other people like that skip out on getting arrested? That's a crime. That is a crime. I want his butt arrested and prosecuted and go to jail.
Yeah, well,
But what he did to that kitten is inexcusable, as big as he is.
Yeah, let me just, I'm trying to, you know, according to a news report in Knoxville, Beasley, he's a junior, played 8 games last year. He's accused of abusing a 6-month-old cat. The police department, the police department, all they've said so far is they've reviewed the incident report, and he has been suspended indefinitely. So, I mean, the case is not over yet. It's under investigation. So that's...
No, it's not. And I've written the police department and the head coach and the athletic director. Mm-hmm. I'm an animal advocate, and I don't stop until they do the right thing. I'm tired of these crimes being committed and no punishment. Why do we have laws if they don't arrest them?
But Penny, I would never want to be accused of defending someone for abusing an animal or anyone for that matter. But I do want to make it clear to you, this case is not over. You know, he very well may be charged. He very well may not be. I don't know.
Well, I mean, the roommate's, his girlfriend's kitty was abused. It was in an oxygen chamber. It's going to have permanent brain damage. And there was a witness to it.
No,
had I been the witness, he'd be in a wheelchair. But I'll tell you what, there's no reason why he should not have been arrested. If he was not a star football player, he would have been arrested.
Okay. Penny, we will continue. I can't say anything in to contradict what you've said. I just don't have all the facts yet, and I think I understand.
But don't you think that that's true, that they should be arrested if they've done a crime?
Well, I think what you have to do is wait for the investigation to be completed. And what I say by that is, and I don't want to defend this guy because that's not.
Please don't.
But all I'm saying to you is, all the facts may not be in yet. Okay. That's all I'm saying.
Well, I'll tell you what, Saban would have run his ass off. But that's just my opinion because I'm an Alabama fan. So, but thanks for taking my call.
Thank you.
I just wanted to put that on the air. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Mac is up next in Tampa. Hello, Mac.
Hey, Paul. This is pretty unbelievable. I'm a longtime listener, first-time caller. I picked up the phone, went on the back porch watching you. Dialed it once and got through. This is incredible. So
I am thrilled.
Great.
I'm glad you made it.
I'm glad you let me on. Listen, I wanted to talk real briefly. Your friend Bill Lumpkin that had passed away, I'm so sorry to hear that. And it reminded me, there was a golf instructor, very well known, Jack Lumpkin. Jack would probably be 90 now, and he's probably passed away. I'm just curious. Do you know? Is that the same family?
I know who Jack Lumpkin is because I used to be an avid golfer. I don't play anymore, but I don't think they are related. But I'm just making a guess there. But
I know
exactly who you're talking about. He was a top 100 instructor and very prominent.
Absolutely. No, I'm 63. I was fortunate. I knew him as a kid. I was very fortunate also that my dad was a member, our family was a member of a club in Atlanta where I grew up, and he was the golf pro there.
I know who he is.
Back in the 60s.
Yeah, Bill, I mean, Bill had a brother that was also in Birmingham, and I'm trying to remember, Bill may be from Georgia, I cannot remember, I think he may be from Georgia,
gotcha.
But yeah, Bill was 92. So, but I am familiar with Jack. I don't think they're related, but you know, I find people, you know, I mean, you never know. I mean, I'm sure if you got a genealogy report out, I'm sure they're, you know, 15th cousins or something.
Sure. Okay. Yeah. Just
Thank
curious
you.
And
Thank
I appreciate
you.
It. Now listen, I love Penny's passion and you really handled that well. You know, bottom line, we're not going to solve it on a phone call with Paul Feinbaum today.
No, and
but I hear you, man.
And I listen. If it's true, but you have to back these things up in a report.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.